Have you ever wondered what invisible chains might be holding you back from achieving your greatest financial goals? Or what if the biggest obstacle to your financial success is something that you've created in your own mind? Well, today we're going to be sharing our five of our personal limiting beliefs and lies that we believed that we had to tear down. And if you're new here, you're listening to the Seed Time Money Podcast, and this year we are sharing our 40-week checklist of the action steps, strategies, and biblical insights that we use to go from paycheck to paycheck living to reaching our biggest financial goal of becoming seven-figure givers and living a life of true financial freedom. Today, we are talking about this idea, this concept of these negative beliefs, these limiting beliefs, these lies that we all have, I believe, all of us have some that we are believing.
Yeah.
And how do we change that? Mm-hmm. And so I want to start by going back to one day when a lot of things changed for me. And you remember this day well.
Yeah.
Because we had been trying to pay off our debt. You know, we came into marriage with a lot of debt. Each of us had, you know, car loans. I had student loans, credit cards.
You actually had more than me, which makes me feel real superior.
You were definitely superior. So we get together with all of our messes, have all of our debt, and we're making drastic cuts to our spending to try to pay off our debt. And I remember the day
we really went for it.
That. You know, we might have gotten a credit card paid off or something, and then we moved on to one of our cars, and we were just piling as much money every month towards that car and paying it down. And we finally got to the point where I looked in our savings account, and I realized there's more money in our savings account than what we owe the bank on that car, which
it was so exciting.
And it's like, and I remember, like, as soon as we pay this off, it's going to free up an extra $250 or $300 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, it's like free money. You know, and like, I was so excited. And I remember you going into that bank with my checkbook in hand and getting ready to write that final check. And, you know, it's this, like so many banks, everything's beige. And when we're walking in there, like, yeah, it's just so vivid in my mind because it was such a powerful moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I handed her that check, the teller, and then she, you know, we lived in a state where they handed you the title back. And so she went in the back and got the title, handed me the title. And it's like, I own this car. And it was the first time in my life that I
own
actually,
this car.
Yeah, but it was the first time in my life.
Really
was it
did.
Like that for you too?
Had you owned
any outright?
Yeah, well, just with you.
But not before that.
No, not before that.
Yeah, so it was the first time that it's like the bank didn't own it and I owned it. They couldn't take it from me, you know? And that was such an amazing feeling. And what was interesting to me is, or how this pertains to what we're talking about here, is the lie that I had always believed prior to this point was you are always going to have a car payment.
Yeah.
That was the thing. You're a middle-class American. Like, you just need to kind of scrape by. Hopefully you can make it.
Mm-hmm.
But you're always going to have a car payment.
Right.
And, you know, and part of this was the mindset that you know, you're going to drive your car and have a car payment for 5 years. And by 5 years, you're pushing 100,000 miles and that car is about to blow up. It's going to leave you stranded on the highway. And
right.
So you got to go get a new one.
That used to be the case. That was the case for a while. But I feel like we've moved so far past that, that it's just not the thing anymore, right?
Yeah, I wrote
But like our parents grew up with that. So that's what they taught us. Even if it wasn't true at that point, it was like that idea just kept going because, you know, I mean, we started driving like right when cell phones became a thing. But previous to that, it was like, if you get stranded on the side of the road, you're stranded on the side of the road. And you're really hoping that another car comes by and is kind enough to stop and help you or to drive you to a gas station or, you know, whatever, so that you can call to get a tow truck or, you know, call your parents or whatever.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was logic in it. It's just that the logic, you know, was gone.
Well, and that's part of it.
And people were still believing that,
for
sure.
That's part of it. Like, you know, because that's what makes something a lie. A lot of times there's part truths in it.
Yes.
But it's not completely truth.
Right.
And in this case, things have changed. And so I actually wrote about this in chapter 9 of our book, just how historically cars, once you did hit 100,000 miles, like in the 70s or 80s, like, you know, where we were growing up, it was, all right, your car is about to blow up, and so you need to get a new one or whatever.
Right. was the truth.
But it's not like that now. Like mm-hmm. cars are very, very different. They're far less likely to leave you stranded. And I go into the data behind all that supports all that in the book. But the point is, even outside of that, there was a belief that I held that that honestly, I wasn't good enough. And like it was an identity thing. Yeah, like that's what rich people do. Like they own their cars outright. But someone like me, it's just not something I can do.
Not in the cards.
And so anyway, so having that title in hand and then intentionally saying, making that decision, you know, and I remember like talking this over with you, like, should we get a new car? Because I had to drive to work and I needed reliable transportation. Mm-hmm. And like we intentionally chose not to get a new car, but we're going to keep driving this car. Mm-hmm. And that was probably 6 or 7 years old at that point. It's like, let's just keep driving it and see what happens. See if everything they've told us is true or not.
Right.
You know, and I'm so glad that we did that.
Can we build up a buffer instead of paying a car payment? Can we build up mm-hmm. a buffer in case there is a bigger repair or we need to buy a new car?
And that was the first thing we did.
Yeah.
It's like we kept paying that extra couple hundred dollars a month mm-hmm. into an account for in case something transmission goes out or whatever.
Right.
So we have money sitting there. And that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. And then that buffer just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then a few years later, we're able to buy the next car with cash. And so that the reason I'm bringing all this up is because that belief that I had that so many other people, you know, so many people don't question the beliefs that they have.
Right.
And don't look at the origin of them and don't question them and line them up with the word of God. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I don't know if scripture and verse, you know, for specifics with the car, but the point is there's a lot of different things that we need to be questioning about our beliefs that we have because they are holding us back mm-hmm. if we have the wrong beliefs. And this was one that had we not broken this, we would have continued in the car payment cycle. And that would have so greatly hindered our financial progress mm-hmm. in 1,000 different ways and would have greatly hindered our ability to reach this big giving goal that we did.
Yeah.
So when I talk about this being a checklist of things that we had to do to get to that point, this is definitely one of them. It's a really, really significant one of them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think a lot of times, I mean, you might even be listening thinking, how do you pay off a car? So there's a couple of ways. You either just pay the regular payment until, you know, your lease is up or not lease, your car payments are up.
Yeah. The loan.
Yeah, until the loan is up. There we go. And then you just own the car. Or like what we did was as we started, we basically did the debt snowball method, which we did that with our little bills first. And then you just keep going. And eventually we got to the car. So it was like we were just putting all of our effort into paying off the car.
And so every month, instead of making our car payment of $250, we're paying $500 or $700 or whatever it was.
Now, what I think most people probably do, or I should say what I would have done in that situation is instead of putting the extra money towards the car payment, what I would have done probably is been like, I have an extra $250 a month to spend on whatever I want to make my life exciting. And so I do think that there is an idea of focus with this when you're trying, like you have to actually decide, I'm going to put my efforts towards this in order to pay it off, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. But
because it's easy to not do that. At least it would be easy. It was easy for me.
But you can choose your own adventure. Like we're reading a money book to our kids right now, and they're specifically talking about saving money and not saving all of it, you know?
Yeah.
But instead of earning 2 carrots a week,
it's about a bunny, and carrots are money in bunny land. Yeah, it's real cute. Money.
And so instead of earning your 2 carrots and saving them for
for
5 weeks, like you can actually take a slower path and spend some and save some. And so it's no different. And like,
right.
And that's why we're not the, you know, we're not the financial police going to tell you how you should handle your debt payoff, whatever makes sense to you, whatever mm-hmm. you think is going to work best for your personality, your family and everything else.
Yeah.
But the point is, decide and go with it.
Yeah.
And anyway.
Well, but just do it on purpose. Yeah. I guess is, you know, that's the idea.
Yeah. So anyway, as far as these beliefs, limiting beliefs we might have, these lies that we may have been believing, like the question is, where do they come from?
Mm.
And they come from all around us, you know, like a lot, again, what we were talking about very much could be from your parents, could be from mm-hmm. the school you grew up in, the neighborhood that you grew up in, your broke friends in many cases. You know,
yeah.
like the people that we surround ourselves with the most, like, affect our thinking more than any. So that's a big part of it.
Yeah.
Who you're following on social media.
Yeah. And you can have, like, you can have friends that are great people and solid, even in the Bible, but don't have this aspect.
Yeah, but weak
great.
In yeah. one particular area, because that's the whole thing. Like, the Bible says we all know in part. So we're
right.
all weak in some area,
yes.
you know, and that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, this is where they're coming from, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, according to Romans, like, we don't want to be conformed by the pattern of the world,
mm-hmm.
but we want to be transformed by the renewing of our minds.
Yep.
So how do we get our beliefs in alignment with what God has mm-hmm. for us,
yeah.
right? And so this whole thing isn't just some, like, positive thinking, you know, exercise. Like, that's not, like, it's not just this rah-rah thing of getting you pumped up or whatever. But this is actually something that's really, really important because,
mm-hmm.
again, we're going to go over a few more of our limiting beliefs and lies that we personally had to tear down, just in case you might have some.
Mm.
But, I mean, I can tell you with 100% certainty that we would have never reached the goal had we not broken out of these lies, tore down these beliefs. And so this isn't just, again, this isn't like a Tony Robbins, like, positive mindset thing. Like, there's so much more to this than
yeah.
this. And I think as Christians, like, we need to understand, and we should understand biblically, like, when the Bible says something, like, we have that as truth.
Mm.
And so this is so weighty and powerful, and
yeah.
we need to align our beliefs with what the Word says. And when Jesus says
yeah.
something is possible, when Jesus says it's something that we should believe, like, we should believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. And so, you know, a lot of this is us getting our minds renewed by being
yeah.
in the Word and allowing that to shape our thinking.
Absolutely.
I wanted to read a quick kind of story to kind of illustrate this a little bit. And I remember hearing this story a long, long time ago. But it's so pertinent and relevant for this. And so I'll just briefly read it the way I saw it written, just for fun. And you might have heard this before, but basically, so this is jungle, and there's this elephant in the jungle, young elephant at this point, and he's tied by a chain to this old tree, okay? So each day, this elephant is pulling against the tree and is tied by a chain, okay? But this chain, obviously, is really strong. But as the elephant gets older, finally just kind of, you know, stops pulling on the chain because he's so used to this chain that's holding him on. He's kind of walked a path around the circle of this tree, and he's just there. But eventually, you know, the elephant keeper or whatever removes this chain, okay? But and he's just assuming the elephant's going to take off, and he's going to run and whatever because now he's free. But the elephant doesn't move, and the elephant continues around that same path, just walking that same path and staying right next to this tree, even though he has unlimited freedom.
Yeah.
And so this elephant is free, but he doesn't understand the freedom that he has,
mm-hmm.
you know? And so this is the idea. Like, I think this is the perfect metaphor for our beliefs and how they can hold us back and
mm-hmm.
what this can look like. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I want to just break down a few different lies that we believe. So we already went over the first one, which was that you always have a car payment. Like, that was a
right.
belief that I accepted that I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that I had that a lot of Christians have, the average Christian in America gives 2.5% of their income each year. And, you know, and I talk to Christians all the time about money and giving and tithing and whatever
mm-hmm.
old stuff. And the number of Christians who say tithing is just impossible. Like, I look
yeah.
at the math, it's not possible. Like, I'm just, that's it. It's impossible. And I had that for a while. And it's really easy to have that when you haven't made giving a pattern in your life and you're an adult and things are tight. And it's like, you look at the numbers, it's like, it's just not possible. It's not
yeah.
even close to possible. Like, giving 3% is kind of impossible.
Right.
Like, and so anyway, so the point here is that this is a limiting belief because when you believe, essentially what it comes down to is, am I believing the math? Am I believing what the bank account balance says, or am I believing God
mm-hmm.
in this thing? And that's what it was for me. And I suspect it is for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because it's easy to look at the math and say, this is impossible.
Mm-hmm.
And when you believe that it's impossible, like, it is impossible. Like, that is the thing that's holding you back.
Right.
Right. And the truth of the matter is, And this isn't a tithing message. And, you know, if you want to read our total thoughts on tithing, we have a blog post on our site where I break down everything we think about this, because it's not, it's different than what I think some people kind of view on tithing. And, but anyway, all that to say, that's not what this is about. But the truth is that if we don't even believe that it's possible, even when God promises that he's going to make it work out for yeah. us and that we can test him mm-hmm. in this area, you know, we're not going to try, and therefore it will be impossible.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, and I have found that a lot of times the thing that God asks us to do, so, we know it talks about tithing in the Bible. It also talks a lot about generosity. So, yes, read this this article. It's really good to share a little bit more about all of that. But even with our time, when I have been like, God, if I give you this time, then I'm going to be saying no to all these other things that in my mind have to get done. And I think you and I have both been through this enough that we've watched that as we actually laid down the things that we thought were important, sometimes that's money, sometimes it's our time, we actually see God come through in a way that we were not expecting at all. Had yeah. no idea how this could have possibly worked out. And it's been really interesting to watch, because although there are those times, like we've had it before, where it's like, this math doesn't add up and this is not, like, it's not going to be possible to do this. If we do it, it means we're just getting further into debt or, you know, something like that. And there's been like a miracle. As soon as we decide we're going to do this God's way, we're going to do it the way God wants us to do it.
Yeah.
I don't you think?
Absolutely. No, we've had it
multiple times happen.
Yeah.
And it's literally just saying yes to God's way and no to our own way.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I want that as a little bit of an encouragement and kind of a push to you to not just think, well, the math doesn't add up. I actually challenge you to take it to the Lord and say, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
Because if he's giving you direction, there's a reason for it. And a lot of times just the obedience in that direction, you know, opens the door.
Yeah.
I remember just with my own children, I have called their names, you know, one in particular. I call this child's name because I'm about to say, hey, do you want some ice cream? And their response to me is, what do you want now? Like, I've had this attitude where I'm just like, first of all, excuse me, you're too little to have this attitude. But I'm calling you because I have a fun invitation and mm-hmm. you are not wanting to come when I call, and therefore you're missing out on the blessing that I'm trying to give.
Yeah.
And I think that it's the same way with God, where he says, hey, I've got something really exciting for you. Could you stop what you're doing? Stop spending your money on that. And put it over here instead.
Yep.
And we're like, I think our response sometimes is, what do you want from me now? You know, I really do. I think I've done that.
Yeah. And that is a lie that we are believing. That
yeah.
God is trying to take from us.
Yes.
You know, or in the case with our child, that's exactly what's happening. The child doesn't understand.
We're not mentioning the child's name, but we both know who we're talking about.
If you have kids, you understand.
You might have
right?
one of these, yeah.
So anyway, so that's the second one. Let's talk about the third one.
Yes.
So the third one is, I mean, there's a couple different things here. The third one for me, as I was thinking back, is this idea that you can't earn a lot of money without sinning.
Mm.
Okay. And so this was like kind of having a poverty theology a little bit of, you know, it's more holy or more righteous to be poor.
Mm.
'Cause I kind of grew up with that mindset a little bit, and God had to like tear that down and show me like the truth
yeah.
that it is not about the amount of money that we have or don't have.
Mm-hmm.
It is about the posture of our heart.
Yeah.
And you study everything the Bible says about money, and you will find this over and over and over again. It's always about our heart.
Mm-hmm.
It comes back to our heart. And the fact of the matter is there are very, very wealthy people who have a beautifully generous heart and who are using their money for the advancement of the kingdom. They're using their gifts to enrich the lives of people through the business they've created or the work that they do or whatever.
Yeah.
The byproduct of which is a good amount of money coming to them. And then they use that to advance the kingdom. Mm-hmm. Like this is happening all the time. Not many people want to talk about this. Everybody wants to point out the rich people that are all selfish and greedy, of which, of course, there are some.
Yeah.
But there's plenty of poor people and middle-class people who are super selfish and greedy and who, you know, are just chasing after money and everything else like that. So it's not about that. It's about the heart posture. Mm-hmm. And when we get that right, we can use our money to rob hell. And that's been my motivation and my passion. How do I take the money I earn, put that, funnel that into ministries who are winning the lost and robbing hell with my wallet? Like, that's exciting to me.
Yeah.
But I couldn't have gotten to that point had we not turned, you know, overturned this idea, overturned this lie that if you make more, really, than, I don't know, $30,000 or $40,000 a year, then you're doing too well financially and you're getting too close to having too much money and you're going to be blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And just, and it's easy to get into that trap because there are multiple verses that talk about the warnings of wealth and the dangers of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we have so many fabulously wealthy people throughout the Bible who were commended by God and who used what they had been entrusted with. They managed it well. They understood that they were stewards.
Yeah.
And they used it for the glory of God and for the advancement of the kingdom. And so, anyway, bottom line, that was a big one for me that I had to work through. And you might be in that same boat.
Yeah. Yeah, and it is, I mean, you said this, but it is always about the heart. Because I mean, I've heard it both ways, where if you have a lot of money, you're more righteous. Or if you have less money, you're more righteous.
Yeah, because you've been blessed by God.
Yes, oh yes.
He loves you more, so you've been more blessed. Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. God loves the rich and the poor, the people bringing in high incomes, the people who are just giving everything they have just to get the job done that they're needing to do. Like, it does not matter. He's still after the same thing, which is to see us with him in heaven at the end.
Yeah.
And he goes after us like that. He constantly pursues us and pursues our hearts. And I think on both ends of the spectrum, you can see people giving their hearts to money.
Yeah.
Rather than to God.
Yeah. For sure.
It's not just if you have a lot of money. It's also, I've seen it a lot with people who don't have a lot of money.
Yep.
I've watched it happen.
It's always a heart issue.
It's always a heart issue.
All right. So number four on my list, the lie that I was believing was that increasing my income, and once I kind of got past the point of feeling like I'm more righteous if I'm poor, then it was, okay, well, I want to try to increase my income. And then working for years and years and years, I bought into this lie that, like, I'm never going to earn more than, like, 5% in a year. Like, that's...
Like increase more than 5%.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, like, that's the pace at which my income can increase. Mm. And that was, like, as far as my box could go. That's where the walls were in my mind. And then... God just obliterated that. First by me getting laid off, which is, not the fastest path you would think to increase in your income. But in that, I get laid off and then I start this business and I watched him take my salary from basically 10% of what I was earning at my day job. And within less than a year, turn that into more than what I was earning in my day job. Mm. And then in less than 6 months, double it. And then probably like another doubling, like in the next year or two. Like, to where it's like, this makes absolutely no sense that my income could fluctuate in an increase at this rate. And I had no context for that.
Yeah.
And this is, and a lot of people who have been in whatever, some sort of job, worked as an employee their entire lives, like probably have no context for that. But as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, anybody who's been in that world and experience, like this is the way it works, you know. But at the same time, you know, like we've had seasons where our income would drop by 80 or 90%. Like, so it's definitely a roller coaster, or it can be. But the point is, like, I couldn't even stretch my faith to believe for you know, and I talk about this story in the book as well, but I had a mentor challenge me and ask me, like, how much do you want to earn? And I was earning like $34,000 a year at the time. He's like, how much do you want to earn? And he was just pushing me. I'm like, I don't know. Like, I can't picture anything other than like $36,000. Like, that'd be a big, big raise, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how small-minded my thinking was. And if that's the biggest prayer that I can pray, I am limiting, you know, what God can do there. Like, and I don't want to limit God because of my faith in here. And mm-hmm. we're going to get to a couple of verses that kind of highlight this and look at what the Bible says about all this. But that was a mind-blowing thing for me, watching him tear down those walls and watching him show me, like, look at how much more I can do than you. And one of the things, I'm so grateful for that mentor, he challenged me, how much do you want to earn? And I'm like, he stretched me and it was so painful. And I ended up writing down on a piece of paper, $250,000 a year. And I'm like, there is no way that is ever, I wrote it down, like, not believing it, feeling like nothing but dissonance in my heart, because it feels like this is offensively wrong. Mm. Everything I know from my history, you know, and again, like, what I'm doing at that point is essentially building my theology off of my past experiences, which is really dangerous.
Yeah.
Which is really dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, he forced me to kind of stretch my faith, and I didn't even know that's what I was doing at that point. But the fact of the matter is, God had giving. He had other people on the side. Like, this is what's so beautiful about this. Like, God wanted to use us to give a significant amount. He wanted to put this goal of giving $1 million on our hearts, and he wanted to help us do it.
Yeah.
But we had to stretch our faith to get to the point to be able to believe that it was possible.
Yeah.
And that's what's so important about this. That's why we're talking about this and why we're really trying to hammer this home so much, because it's so important. But anyway, I want to get to the fifth because I want to keep moving on here.
Well, yeah. And I have one that I want to add. Maybe I could add it here because it kind of goes along with that.
Sure.
You said increasing your income more than 5% a year is impossible. That was kind of the bullet point of what you wrote down.
Yeah.
But what I would like to add to that is that that we could see large increase and large decrease and stay relatively steady throughout the increase, the rise and the fall of the income.
Like, kind of like Paul being content, what he talks about in Philippians
4. Yes, and I'm not going to say we're perfect at it, but I do feel
like...
we're
better, though.
We're much better, and we can see it for what it is rather than have our identity wrapped up in it or just really throw humongous fits or goes directly into debt because we don't have enough money or, you know, and at the same, when it rises, we're kind of like, let's be wise with what is coming in here because it's not always going to be like that. Like, I feel like we've just leveled out on how we handle that. And I didn't know that that was possible.
Well, yeah, the first time we had that increase, my identity was attached to it. And then the first decrease, my identity was attached to it. And so it was like, I'm feeling better about myself. I'm feeling smarter than I am. I'm feeling whatever, all the different things because, wow, our income went up a lot. I got this stuff down. Yeah. And then it decreases. It's like, oh, man, I'm a worm. Like, I'm blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, you know, and but now, like, because we've been through this roller coaster enough that we are in so much healthier of a place.
Yeah.
You know, and dear listener, that's my desire for you as well. Because it is possible. And this is exactly what Paul was talking about in Philippians 4. We learned how to be content, whether he was abasing or abounding in all the situations, you know, because Paul lived in the king's palace, you know, but at the same time, he had a rough road. Like, he experienced both sides, you know?
Yeah.
So I want to get to the last one here for us, which was number 5, paying off a house is impossible.
Ooh.
And again, like, again, by God's grace, we paid off our house at age 31. That was part of our journey.
Mm-hmm.
But we talk about this all the time when people are asking us about how'd you pay off your house or how do I pay off a house or a mortgage or even pay off a student loans, like anything where it's like, that's so big, it feels impossible.
Or a car.
Yeah. It starts with believing that God can do it.
Yeah.
And that he actually wants to help you do it.
Right.
Okay? Because I don't believe that Jesus came to set us free in so many areas, but to leave us bound as slaves.
That's right.
Okay? And if you go back to, I think it's Deuteronomy, the guy was talking to the Israelites and saying, listen, I want you guys to be lenders and not borrowers. Yeah. That's what my plan for you.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you go to Galatians, whatever, 3 or something, it was talking about how that's the beauty of what we have as New Covenant believers. Like, all the promises of Abraham are ours. Like, these promises he made to them, it's like, those aren't just for them. Like, we can ask that. We're God's children. Like, and that's what's so beautiful about this. And so, anyway, point is, just having the, just accepting the idea that, hey, maybe God could desire for me to pay off my mortgage. And even though I can't see how it's ever possible, like, just opening up your mind to, I can't see how it's possible, but God is able.
Yeah.
That right there. It's okay that you can't figure it out in your own strength. In fact, it's better you can't figure out in your own mind. But you have to be open to the idea that God can do it.
Yeah.
And had we not done that, I don't know what would have happened.
Yeah.
But again, he had to stretch us. He had to tear down lies, because I didn't grow up in a world where people paid off their house. Like,
oh yeah, me either.
No one paid off their house.
No, when they did, it was like, did you hear so-and-so paid off their house?
And they're like 80 years old.
And
you know?
Yeah, I mean, it was like something to celebrate. This is a huge victory. This is a huge win.
And it absolutely is. But absolutely. The point is, we just didn't see it. We didn't have a point of reference for that.
But
and
maybe
you don't either.
It was kind of like as impossible as like, oh, somebody climbed Mount Everest.
Yeah.
Like, we heard about it and like about that same amount.
Yeah.
Like, so-and-so tried to, or climbed Mount Everest. It's like, oh my gosh, you know?
Yeah. It's really impressive.
But I mean, it is really impressive. But what I think what happened for us is that we did the same thing with the car, which was that we believed it was possible. And then we put our efforts into it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's another thing that I don't think I would have done before.
Well, yeah, if you don't believe it's possible, you're never going to try.
Yeah.
You're not going to make a plan. You're not going to, of course, pay extra towards a mortgage. Like,
right.
It's just not even on your radar. And so, of course, you're not going to reach the goal.
Mm-hmm.
But once you start asking that question, God, are you able?
Yeah.
Might this be something that you might want for me?
Mm-hmm.
And then you at least start exploring the possibility, taking action that aligns with that belief.
And I mean, we haven't really talked about this a lot, but at 31, we paid off our house. And then a few years later, we moved and took on a mortgage a second time, which we kept our house and we used it as a rental property for a while. And we were like, we'll just take out a mortgage. And a few years into that, we were like, yeah, I don't think we want to do this anymore. this is not as much fun as I thought it would be, you know, but, again, we actually had to do the same thing over again. We had to believe God for the mortgage to get paid off. And so we have really done this two different times. Like the first time it was like, you know, we're just getting started. The second time we kind of knew better, but we went into it anyway. And God blew our minds again. And it was within 3 years, both times. We were like, this is so wild that is within 3 years. For us both times. But I mean, I really feel like God has more in store for us than we can imagine.
Yeah.
And so when we take the steps to trust him in what he's asking us to do, when we take the steps to trust him that if we bring a problem to him and ask for a solution, he's like excited that we're asking. I mean, my kids, again, it's like being a parent is so helpful in this, because God is so much better of a father than we are parents on the earth, you know. But my kids come to me and I will watch them struggle with something for a while. And it is hard to watch them struggle. But sometimes, you know, they're little, they need to learn, you know, all that stuff. But when they come to me and they are like freaking out, crying, and I say, I know exactly how to fix this problem. I want to help you. Please let me help you. And they just let me help them. I mean, the relief on their face is so sweet, because they're like, I didn't know what to do. And I thought this was an impossible situation, you know?
Yep.
And the fact is that God is waiting for us. He lets us figure things out sometimes. But also when there are these things where we're like, this is a desire. This is what I feel like he's honestly put on my heart to do. And I have absolutely no way to figure this out. This is completely impossible. He is just waiting for us to come to him. And he's going to say, I know exactly how to solve this problem.
Yeah.
This is easy.
Yep.
No big deal. We got this.
Yeah.
And I mean, the relief, you know, that relief when we're like, how I didn't know that this could be done at all.
Yeah.
And now here he just is like, here you go. There's the answer.
Yeah.
I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. And the thing that I think is so, why this is so important and why it's potentially scary is that we have the ability to limit God based on our belief and our lack of faith. And and I'm thankful for those times where my limited faith that didn't limit him, and he, you know, still saw us through. But we have that ability. Like, because if we go to Matthew 13, we have Jesus there, and it said he did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. And I don't think that was a punishment. I don't think he was just like, you don't have faith, I'm going to hold my miracles back. Right. I think it's like, that is the currency of which miracles take place.
Yeah.
Like, that's like, you deposit the faith. That's the coin that you put into the machine. And, you know, obviously, the weird metaphor, but you get the point. Like, that is the currency, is the faith. Well, that is the thing that he needed to pull it off, you know? And, like, if you look at Matthew 17:20, he said, he replied, because you have so little faith, truly, he said, truly, I tell you, if faith is small as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to here, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you.
That's crazy.
Nothing will be impossible for you. And there is just something here that is just so significant. And then we can look at Hebrews 3:19. He says, so we see that they were not able to enter the promised land because of their unbelief. Okay. And so, anyway... And then I guess if we flip that, the other side of that is Ephesians 3:20, where we see that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all we can ask, think, imagine, according to the power that works within us.
Yeah, and I think this is why it's so important to stay in the Word, is because it gets our eyes back on God, and it puts him in his rightful place, which is on the throne, far above all principality, power, might, and dominion. Like, he is above it all. And it's easy to be in the world and of the world.
Yeah.
Instead of in the world, but knowing who God is.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that he is the King of all kings. There's one scripture, I think it's in Psalm 2. And it talks about people on the earth trying to come against God, basically. It's like there's these kings, and they're making their plans. They're scheming. And it says, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. Like, he's just like, oh, that's cute. Oh, they think they've got a shot. That's funny. You know, because he's not stressed out. He's not stressed out.
Yeah.
And so we can look at the financial institution and be like, well, it's all against me. And it's like, but God is for us.
Yep.
God is for us. So if God is for us, then who can be against us? The one enthroned in heaven laughs. Yeah. Like, it's just a good reminder when inflation hits a crazy high.
Or 2020 happens. Or whatever 2020 the thing happens is,
or whatever. You know? It's like, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. He is still for us, and he is the almighty God, not just the, oh, I hope this works out for us kind of God. He is almighty.
Yeah.
And he's always working for us.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah. So just kind of wrapping this up, tying this in a bow, your to-do action item for today, like, I want you to go take some time. I want you to pray and ask God to help identify any limiting beliefs or lies that you might be believing that are holding you back from your financial potential, like what God has to do through you. Because again, like we mentioned before, God put this desire to give away millions of dollars. He put this desire in our heart when we were dating. And broke as broke can be. Like, you probably heard us talk about this, but super broke at that point.
Super broke.
He plants this desire in our hearts, but the only way, or the way that he chose to do it, was by tearing down the beliefs that we had, tearing down our limiting beliefs and lies that we believed, in order to free us up to be in a position to have more money to come in without us, blowing it, or or not being ready to receive it or any of these different things. It's like he had to get us positioned to be able to do the thing that he had planted in our hearts all those years before.
Mm-hmm.
So as you're praying about this, like be aware of that, that, you know, some of these lies and beliefs might need to be torn down. And sometimes it's not easy because it's like, I've believed this my entire life. Like everything I've seen proves this to be true. But if it contradicts what the Word of God says or what God says about your situation, then we need to question that. You know, we need to fight that.
Yeah.
So that's your to-do action item for now. I want you to go pray and ask him. And we're going to pray now just so he would do that. And again, like, and we shared some of ours, but I'm sure that we still have more that we're holding on to that, like, I want to get rid of. Like, you know, because we're on our journey, right. Just like you're on a journey. And we got big dreams of what we want to see God do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to have limiting beliefs holding us back.
Mm-hmm.
So God, we just invite you into all of our situations. And I pray that you would show up and I pray that you would reveal with crystal clear clarity anything that is not of you, anything that is limiting us from, you know, in many cases, really subtly limiting us to believing something that isn't true. Like anytime we're looking towards anything the world says about our finances rather than what you say about it.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we're looking to the world as our provider rather than you.
Mm-hmm.
So just reveal those things to us, Father, and make it super clear so that we can know and show us how to change. Show us how to change that situation. Show us what decisions and practical things we need to tweak. And ultimately, help us to get these things lined up with your word and your truth so that we can be in a position to advance your kingdom and to be used by you to the fullest extent possible.
Yeah.
And we thank you for it. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So that is us getting off the soapbox for today. It's clearly something that we're pretty passionate about, but it is such an important thing. And I'm glad you were here today with us. And
share
this with anyone who might need it.
Mm-hmm.
In this whole series, again, we'd love your feedback, which episodes you're enjoying. So send us a DM at Seed Time. And we'd love to chat with you over there. So that's all for today. Have a great one. And we'll see you next one.
See you later. Do you want some more Bob and Linda in your life? How about this?
Of course.
How would you like to hang out with us for 6 weeks and your small group or church?
And if you want to do that, just go to seedtime.com/true to find out more details. Or send us a message, DM on Instagram at seedtime, and let's chat.